Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves what's up, on the what's trees up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you today. And what is going on, everybody? Well, of course, the market is relentless. It never knows how to go down again, and it never will. Dow 1 million, here we come, baby. And of course, obviously, said in jest in case you didn't know. But, you know, again, I think one of the most important things that you have to understand as a trader or an investor is the markets will go longer in one direction or farther in one direction than you think. Because let's take a look at what's going on. Okay, everybody wants to be short this market, and rightfully so. However, okay, that alone brings a problem because that creates a reason for the market not to go down. You can't, you know, markets are predictable by using the footprint, but when people get stubborn, which we are now, okay, you have people that are still fighting it to go down, which keeps the buyers coming back in the market, because what you need to have happen first is the buyers have to exhaust themselves. And because you create small dips, buyers step back in and they buy and they buy and they buy. And again, you're fighting against the Fed, you're fighting against the tape. So, you know, trying to predict the market here and, you know, the doom and gloom. And I'm a doom and gloomer, but I'm not really a doom and gloomer. I just know that they have to go down. But again, they're not going to go down until the market stops going up. And I know that's kind of silly, but what I mean is that markets are funky. And they're probably going to test. They might make a run for the all-time high still. I mean, again, that doesn't mean they're any healthier. All that means is that right now you've got too many people trying to fight it to put it down. And, of course, when you fight the market, it goes the opposite way. The market is conditioned because traders and real true money will fade the average public money, if that makes sense. So you can't expect to pick the time to be right the market here. You've got to wait and wait for the footprint to appear that makes sense. And you know, I'll give you levels and I'll give you ideas of where we should get some selling from. And one day what's going to happen is we're going to start for out of nowhere will come a small sell off and buyers will step in again. And then it'll keep going and it'll keep going down. And the people go, well, what happened? It always came before. And then they'll puke out. See, the whole rotation of the market comes from people puking or getting out or getting in, you know, depending on which way we're going. But if you look at the bottom of 09, that was a major pukage, and you could see it. Now, again, I didn't know that was exactly the day it was going to be the bottom, but you knew the bottom was near. Well, now we know the top is near, but it doesn't mean that it's coming today or tomorrow or when you plan for it. It means it will be here when it's ready to be here, and when in other words, when it's damn good and ready. And right now, it is not damn good and ready. Right now, it's grinding higher. As volume and volatility continue to fall, that shows you that there's even more complacency coming in the market. Now, if you're Stanley Druckenmiller and you've got big money, then you can just afford to say, hey, this is the worst market I've ever seen and it's going to go down, and you can put your position on and walk away. Unfortunately, most of us are not in that position. You know, Warren Buffett is the other side of like a Druckenmiller. Druckenmiller is typically, I mean, he does both sides, but Warren Buffett says, okay, I'm buying a good company and I'll let it go up and down, but eventually it's just going to go higher, which is correct. I mean, you know, if you look at the market on a year-over-year basis, it goes up. The problem is it doesn't go up every year. But if you are looking at good fundamental companies, but trading them or buying them on technical reasons, then you'll do fine. Okay. Warren Buffett doesn't get out, but again, he just keeps accumulating. But you can trade both sides of the market. But, you know, some guys lean to the short side and wait their turn and wait their opportunity. And some guys trade to the long side and they just keep accumulating because they know, we all know that forever the market goes up 9% year over year. But, you know, again, that means, though, that you're not playing these penny stocks. You're not playing the crap. You're playing something that is solid. You're playing something that is real and they have a fundamental basis. So that means you can buy when they get depressed and they're at good potential levels. Now, if you remember when Apple went from 700 to 350, 350 was a good technical level to get back in Apple. Now it's back to 700. Now, I'm not saying you should have bought it at the bottom and sold at the top. I'm saying, though, but when you look and you wait for that opportunity, I mean, it'll happen again. You'll get another buying opportunity in Apple and you'll probably get another buying opportunity at the same 350 again. Okay? So, you know, don't ever try to outthink or outsharp or, you know, trade exact with the market. But, you know, there are times to take profit and move on, or there's times to hedge. And that's, you know, we've been talking a lot about the hedge program here on the show, but only because it takes away that decision of having to get out. Okay? That is what we do, is when we hedge it, we don't have to think about it. In other words, you're never at major risk, so you don't have to get out. You don't have to worry about stocks. You just want to keep buying, because you know when they go down, you're going to be protected, and you're going to take that money when it goes down and buy up some more. And that is the overall theory, okay, of trading and investing. Investing is about compounding your money. Trading is about getting in and out and making money. But if you learn how to compound, then you can take a little money and put it away every month and turn it into a lot of money in the future. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, okay? But, you know, if you had been using the hedging method since, you know, again, it wasn't as accessible as it is today. But let's say you'd done it for the last 10 years, okay, you would have right now probably twice as much stock as you had last time, and you would have never gotten out in 08. Now, I know you hear these commercials on TV, never lose money again. That's all a bunch of bullshit. You know, again, this is not bullshit. This is straight up mathematics. It's straight up easy. It will have periods of losing money, but it will never lose money that will break you. And that is the important thing when you're looking versus investing versus, you know, anything else. It will not break you. You will not be out of business. This is what you have to remember, okay? Markets go up and markets go down. You make little bits of money, you lose little bits of money. But what you have to avoid is the drawdown that makes you decide on whether or not you can afford to stay in the market. Well, hedging your portfolio allows you to stay in the market, so you never have to get out. We all have that fear gene that we get to a certain point and you pull the trigger and say, enough, I'm out. We don't want to be in that position. We don't want to have the fear gene to say enough and get out. So if you hedge properly, you never get out of the market. You continue to stay in and you continue to rotate around, and you're not even trading anymore or investing anymore. You're investing into your portfolio, but you're always hedging your portfolio, which then gives you a chance to also increase your own yield and compound your portfolio more. Because basically what we're creating is a compounding endowment model that, if you've heard of the DRIP program, you get dividends, you reinvest them. That's what this hedging model does, is it shows you how to reinvest your money as if you were getting a dividend. So every time the market goes down, you're not selling, you're buying. Okay, if you remember the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter isn't selling, Mr. Potter is buying. And that's what we want to do. We want to be Mr. Potter. We want to continue to buy when everybody wants to sell, when they're fearful, the whole deal. So anyways, join my friends Scott Connor and Kevin Hinks over at Thinkorswim as they will educate you. They love to take on new traders and kind of help you with the platform and show you what's going on. And I urge you to check them out. Swim lessons every single day. Go check that out. But more importantly, go check out LibertyTalk.fm to download The Bubba Show every day. Love it. LibertyTalk.fm, The Bubba Show, over 200,000 a month now. We're looking for more. Follow me on Twitter at Bubba Average Joe. Go like The Bubba Show on Facebook, and I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. When love runs high. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz is coming to you. And, you know, I got to tell you, I get angry. You know, if you haven't noticed, I bitch a lot, and I get angry a lot. But I don't get angry just to get angry. I get angry at things that I think are silly. I get angry at things that I think are stupid. And I get angry at things that I think are lies. Well, I was listening to a pundit, which will go unnamed, but if you saw it, you'll know what I'm talking about, but I don't want to put anybody down. But I'm listening to an ex-Wells Fargo executive talking about the banking system. And I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm driving, and the yank on my steering wheel kept getting harder and harder, because as the guy was talking, I was getting angrier and angrier. Because here's what he said, and I'll tell you what I think. He first says that we need to have these massive banks. And I go, okay, why? Now, he doesn't answer that, but why? Why do we need the massive banks? What do they do? Yes, they steal our money because they loan big loans to foreign countries just wanting to collect the interest payment, which we've talked about this before. But that's what they work on. That's their income, the interest they get. They never want a loan to go bad. They'll keep negotiating around that loan to keep it on the books. But when it gets bad, who do you think gets to pay for it? We do. The American people back these loans. Whether you believe it or not, check it out. Okay, we back these loans, and we're the ones who make them too big to fail. So go, okay, well, why would I want to do that? Okay, but okay, I'll live with that portion of this, but the rest I won't. So then he goes on to say that the U.S. economy is growing. And I go, really? Please, and I urge you to correct me if I'm wrong, but overall, I don't see growth. I see a continuing fall in retail sales every month. I see less income every month. I see a destruction of my dollars every month, but I don't see growth, okay? Where is the 2% growth coming from? I would like to know if somebody's going to tell me, where is 2%? We don't make anything. How can we grow? Okay. So now I'm working harder on trying to stay on the road without driving off the side of it. And now he says, well, but we need small banks too. But in the meantime, the big banks are always trying to swallow up the small banks or put them out of business. Just like they did with the savings and loans. Okay. Because they're like flies in the ointment, but the small banks get hammered. They get more trouble with all these regulations. They're at a big disadvantage to a big bank because the compliance people, they don't have the balls to go after the big guys. They go after the little guys. Okay? So now, you know, you have this whole situation where the banks are trading and things like that. And of course, you know, nobody hears about any of these stories. I think we talked about this yesterday, but the whale trade. Now, do you think that you don't think that they don't do things that aren't not on the up and up? And I'm not being critical of that part because, you know, we've all probably taken a shot here or there at something. OK, but are you going to tell me that you really believe that we've only had this one trade? Now, why isn't compliance up their butt? OK, why are they not getting massive fines? They get fined $5 billion. The whale probably made $20 billion. OK, it was a good trade for J.P. Morgan. So the banker continues to go on and talk about how they're taking care of the American people. And I go, really? You really think you're taking care of the American people? And this is the problem that we have. Okay, now I'm not telling you to go all the way to the other side. I mean, you know, there's conspiracies on both sides. Okay, but what I'm saying is think about it, right? What do they actually do for you? Okay, right now you've got a zero interest rate policy, which is impossible for anybody really to strive in. Why? Because banks won't lend the money. Entrepreneurs can't get in business, which means they can't hire people, which means that we just have another mess. Okay. And because the banks are too big to fail, they're not as concerned because they know, guess what? That if they go down, the government's going to bail them out, which means you and me are bailing them out once again. So now he subsequently goes on to say about, you know, the banking business. Now, I mean, I hate to disagree, but banks are in business to make money just like any other business. I don't have a problem. I don't fault them for making money. But don't come out and lie to me about how you make your money. Okay? And don't come out and lie to me that when you went broke in 2007 and 8 because you were giving money to everybody. If you could sign your name, you could borrow money. I mean, who are they kidding? Why is this so hard to fathom that they stole all the money? Because at the end of the day, we paid for it. I mean, you know, they lent, they collected, then all of a sudden they didn't collect, so they had to renegotiate the assets and they had problems. We paid for it. Okay? The too big to fail paid for it. Ben Bernanke and his idiotic policies paid for it. Okay? By bailing them out in the first place. So what have we run in the bank? Could we be in any worse shape today after 7 years of a zero interest rate policy with overall, yes, the stock market has tripled almost from the bottom, but overall, the average guy on the street is in no better shape than he was then. Now, this is supposed to be a society that gives everybody a fair and equal chance to make money. Now, all I've seen is a lot of wasted money and a lot more entitlement programs. Now, if you think that that's where we want to go, that's where, in my opinion, that's where the banks would like us to go. It just makes it easier for them. Okay, they want to have this whole socialist type of policy. I mean, if you listen to the Christine Lagarde yesterday on CNBC, or you listen to these other yokels, they're trying to drive us into a socialist view. And if you don't think so, think about it. Look at all the things that they do and try to think about one thing that they do for you. Okay, think about maybe one thing that they might do for you and me, the average guy. I can't think of anything. All I can think about is they'll give you a credit card because they hope you finance it to the tilt, and then you just got to keep paying. Okay, you don't think they have good lobbyists in Washington where you don't get to get, you can't bankrupt on a credit card, but they'll get you to spend it, and you know you max out your credit card and you pay the minimum, you just took out another mortgage. Okay, so yeah, when they can get usury rates from you, they're your best friend. Okay, when they can pipe it up, yeah, they're great. They'll give you anything, but having to have you give you a deal where you could actually have a chance to make real money, and they got no interest in you. You're a stranger. So you think about that when the next time you deal with it in this industry, okay? You know, if you're among the rich, you know, Bob Hope said, you know, banks the only one to give you an umbrella when it's raining or when it's not, when it's sunny outside. You know, you got to realize and watch this, how they've transformed you into these ridiculous loans, if you can get a loan. And that's what born or brought on all these peer-to-peer third-party lenders now, because these third-party lenders, they're not going to give you a loan at 3% or 4%. They're going to charge you 10 or 15%. Okay, believe me, when you go to these Prosper and all these other ones, they're going to get you pretty damn good, and they're going to get you pretty good, pretty high, because they can't. Because if you need the money and you got to go to them, that means you can't qualify at the bank. So what do you think? They're going to take your eyes out like always. You know, everybody does it. I mean, that's what they do. They charge usury type rates because let's face it, when you're desperate, you'll do almost anything. And to me, I have a fundamental problem with that, because it doesn't have to be this way, and everybody could be happy. But I don't know if you realize or not, but banks don't want you to pay the money back. They just want you to keep paying the interest. Credit cards don't want you to pay. They don't like people who pay in full. They want people who pay it off over time. Okay, same with the auto loans. And you think that the auto loans, you know, the automakers have sold their soul because they're not giving 10-year auto loans. But if you think that 0% is really zero, think again. That 0% translates into about 8%. Okay, so again, we are a by-the-month society. But remember, nobody gives you nothing for nothing. Okay, so if you think you're getting something or nothing, I guarantee if you look underneath the hood, you'll find that what you're paying is a lot more than you thought you were paying. But because they can give you zero and not give you any of the kickbacks and charge you more on the car, they're selling their soul to take their profit up front, and the rest of it, they're giving it to you in the back end. And again, nobody out there when it comes to money is doing you any favors. Not any of the peer-to-peers, none of them. They've all got an angle, and that's the bottom line, and that is the banking industry. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And when you miss the show, You go to libertytalk.fm for the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. It's there every day for you. You also got to check out BubbaTrading.com. Okay, we talked hedging and all, but I'm just telling you, again, no big deal one way or the other, but I'm telling you that if you're not doing it, you're making a mistake. Follow me at Twitter at Bubba Average Joe, as well as go like the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. I love hanging out with you guys. It's always fun to come out here and rock and roll. And, you know, are we wondering when the other shoe's going to drop? You ever wonder what's next? You ever wonder what the Federal Reserve did with $4 trillion? And, you know, it's like my parents went to Hawaii and all I got is this lousy T-shirt. I mean, have you ever wondered where all the money goes? You know, the debt that we keep creating. Do you realize at some point, you know, that debt has to be settled somehow, okay? It's somehow that deficit, you know, and the way they usually settle is they devalue or they reorganize or they don't pay their bonds. Now, again, this is the bond rating deal, and this is something that, you know, has to stop. This overfunding and overspending and over-entitling, you know, what we're really forgetting about and who's really getting screwed in this deal is all of the fixed incomers, all the people on Social Security, all the people on Medicare, okay? Because everybody else is getting your money because our guys didn't do their job. Now, I know in the state of Illinois, teachers' pensions are supposed to be funded by the state, I believe, once a year or whatever. There's something out of performance. I'm not 100% sure, but there's something with it. But I know that in Illinois, they haven't put money in this teacher's pension since 1999. Okay? Now, at some point, that money's going to be paid. And, of course, we know who's going to have to pay for it when it finally does come due. But my point here is, why do we have to be that? Why can't we live? Why can't the government, why can't the country live on a budget like everybody else? Okay? They don't give you a break. You don't have a printing press in your backyard. So this is the more of the issue. And why can't they get off their ass and raise the age on Social Security? Okay. Now, I understand some people can't. I mean, listen, if you're at the wire, I get it. And I don't think they could do it there. But certainly you could start with the people that are 20 and say, hey, you know, now from 1995, if you were born after 1995, Social Security age is 75 or 77. You know, originally Social Security, the age was designed by the average living age. The average living age was 63. They put it at 65 for those who lived past it. So everybody paid for it, but they had plenty of money. Well, now people are living longer, but for some reason, our government decided that they didn't want to move ahead with the times. Gee, what a shock. So now we're paying this money in, and I've paid the max for 40 years, okay? And I don't care if I see a dime or not. I mean, I'm just angry because it's such an easy fix. And this is my real problem. Okay. It's such an easy fix. Why do we have to make it such a complicated fix? Do you ever wonder why we have to spend billions of dollars on a stupid presidential election? Or did you ever wonder why you had to spend billions of dollars on, or you know, the high hundred millions on Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? I mean, you ever wonder why we had to have the athletes come in to the Senate and the House to get grilled about steroids? I mean, why do we like to just give it away so easily? Why do we like to give up the cash so easily without even thinking about it? And that, to me, is a bigger problem. Because, again, I have a fundamental problem with giving it away for nothing. But our leaders deem it so. But you ask them to give up part of their pension, God forbid they would give you a penny back. Okay? But, you know, where is it that this faulty business called the United States of America, because certainly you cannot be happy with the way the company of the United States is run, because we wouldn't, if they would run it like a regular company, we wouldn't be in this problem. Okay? If they would run it like a real country and had a real CEO in there who ran it, okay, then we wouldn't have this problem. I mean, and again, you can say, hey, I'm full of crap, which usually I am, but, you know, if you look at it, look at some of the industries that the government used to run or still run, but other people compete with them, and the government loses money, and the other ones make a lot of money. So what is the problem with that? Okay, obviously business either successful or they fail, but most businesses fail for what reason? They fail because of management. Well, we certainly have the worst management. Okay, and I'm not just blaming Obama. I mean, you know, listen, I don't like him, but I'm not just blaming him for this. I mean, you know, you can blame anybody you want, but I mean, you can, but you got a big choice here of who you want to blame, okay? Because they're all at blame, and it's not just this administration; it's all the administrations, no matter what aisle you sit on, because they all have this. At the end of the day, they're all the same crooks that are stealing out of yours and my pocket. Okay, now look at what's going on in the election today. Okay, you've got Clinton, Sanders, Trump, Cruz. Now, Sanders, I don't like, believe me, it would be a nightmare if he got it. If either one of them got it, it's a nightmare, but it would be a bigger nightmare because he wants to turn us into France. Okay, all socialists. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to share my money with, you know, at a high rate of taxes. I'm sorry. Okay, I mean, I earned it. I got it. Why do I want to give it away? I want to pay my fair share. I have no problem with it. I've always paid my fair share, and I will always continue to do so. I just wish that everybody would pay their fair share, and then it'd be a hell of a lot less of a problem. But why can't we just come up with a flat tax of 15%? Even 20. I don't care. Okay. But dealing with these imbeciles, you can't do that. We have to have a 9 billion page tax code. Okay. We've got to have, why? Because, you know, the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates of the world, because they can beat all those regulations because they give so much money to both parties. So doesn't that become a problem to anybody? Doesn't anybody care that everybody is bought off for something? The constituents buy everybody off? I mean, do we not have a problem with that? I mean, is it not time? You know, the original founding fathers put in the delegate system because, you know, in those days, you had to be white and rich to vote, right? Let's be honest. When the Constitution was written, it was rich and white, okay? You know, and as time progressed, you know, the Civil War, we got African Americans got the right to vote. Women got the right to vote. But then, you know, an election could have been bought because it wasn't big enough. So you could get to enough people and you could buy the White House. Well, now they buy it, but they buy it in a different way. And if we would change some of the laws now and we get rid of this delegate system, I mean, can you imagine? Both parties are having a delegate fight because the guys who are getting the votes aren't getting all the delegates. I mean, you know, so how does that work, right? If you're getting all the popular vote, how come you're not getting the delegate vote too? It doesn't kind of make sense, right? I mean,
I think there's been one or two elections, one or two national presidential elections that the popular vote getter did not win the election. Okay, but I mean, there, you know, you have to stay with the times, and I think that that's where we've missed out is we get these congressmen in and these senators in for 30 years, and they like what they do. They like, you know, stealing their little bits and pieces. Okay. And I just think you have to come to a point where at the end of the day, we need to update where we are. We need to update America. We need a facelift, because if we had a facelift, we probably wouldn't be in the problem we are right now. We probably would have figured out that the economists don't know crap and that they can't identify something until after it's over. And what does it do? What good does it do us if in history we read that 2014, 15, 16, 17, whatever it is, was a bubble? We have to identify it now. Why do I need an economist to tell me later in history that this was a bubble period? I'm saying it's a bubble now. But we can't seem to get past that. We can't seem to get past, you know, every year the debt ceiling debate, okay? The budget debate. Why is it so difficult? Now, you know, these guys go in a room together. First of all, you always know it's solved. Okay, they're always going to come to an answer. But I think what they're doing is they sit in the back room with a cigar and a scotch, and they say, okay, how are we going to screw the American people once again? Because that's all that really happens, because, again, the taxpayers fund everything. Okay? So the next time you think that they're doing something for your good, remember this. They ain't. Okay? They don't have your best interest at heart. They have their own best interest at heart. And that's the problem with society today, is that the elected officials, and I'm not saying everyone, but I'm going to say a bigger majority than don't, are looking out for themselves and how they can get their own golden parachute. Okay? And that's the problem. They deserve a golden something, but it ain't a parachute. Okay? But they don't care. They don't have your interest at heart. Okay? It's evident that even the Republican National Committee doesn't have your interest at heart, because you're voting for Trump and they're trying to get somebody else in there. What sense does that make? Okay? Whether you like him or not, the overwhelming majority likes him. So why are they saying no and changing the rules? I don't get it. But, you know, I don't get a lot of stuff. But a lot of stuff does piss me off. Anyways, check out my friends at Thinkorswim. Every day they get swim lessons. They've got a new product now, the Red Option blog, which is trade recommendations, cool stuff. Check it out, Thinkorswim. Also, you know, when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. And we've got some other great programming, too. I mean, you know, I enjoy it, and it's my station with my partner. But I hope you check it out. You know, a lot of good stuff for you. But also, BubbaTrading.com. You know, again, if you buy it, you buy. If you don't, you don't. I'm really not concerned about it. But I the things I have up there are really meant to have your best interest at heart. Okay? And that's the truth. Okay? Check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am going to step out here for a break, and I will be back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Bitch Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I only bitch because really, and I'm really bitching for you. Not at you. I'm bitching for you. You know, I got a lot of problems, but I got another fundamental problem. You know, our farmers, the American farmer, are hardworking sons of guns, and they get the worst of a lot of deals. From everything we talked about today, has a direct effect on them. Now, they get some good deals too. Again, I'm not going to say that they don't, you know, get some benefits, but you know, they're in a business like everybody else. But the reason that they get torched more than anybody else is because, first of all, to be a farmer, you work harder because there ain't nobody else, right? You know, like, I'm doing my thing, and if I'm giving a class, nobody can give the class the way I give it. I got to be there to do it, sick or not. Farmers got to work no matter what. You know, you got to get that stuff going. You know, it doesn't wait. You can't say, well, I'll get it tomorrow. it's got to be done when it's got to be done. But a lot of unfortunate people prey on that they're so busy that they can take advantage of it. And I don't like that. I think that that's wrong. I think it's wrong to take advantage of anybody. But I really think it's wrong when you get people like, you know, in a weak moment and you just, they need to do something. So you grab on it, you take advantage. Because, you know, in the 1800s, farming was our GDP. We made, they were, everything was perfect. We had no debt. Everything worked great. And now all of a sudden, you know, we've got too much screwing with the currency. So that has a dramatic effect because they lose the ability to export. You've got banking issues because of all the ridiculous regulations. You know, in the old days, you know, a guy would walk into a bank and say, hey, you know, hey, Sam, I need $100,000. Say, okay, here's $100,000. You pay me back when you, you know, when you bring the crop in or whatever business you're in, no problem. Okay. And, you know, you knew the banker, everything. Now it takes an act of Congress to get a loan. Okay. Now, you know, unlike many other businesses, you know, farmers lay out all their money up front because to plant and to get ready, you got to pay for everything in front, you know, seed, fertilizer, you know, tractors, help. So they don't get paid until the harvest comes in. And then the issue is, do they make enough money on the harvest? You know, you can never begrudge anybody for making a profit. Now, being in the farming business, you have big years up and you have big years down. There is ways to avoid the big years down, but we'll talk about that later. But you have to understand that even whatever it is, they're laying out the money ahead, and a lot of us need working capital. And getting that working capital has become a much bigger challenge. And you're under much more scrutiny by the banking system. Notice how I tied this all into a ball. I went all over banking. I got back to this again. But the banks are making it extremely challenging for farmers to borrow. Now, if they can't borrow, how do we expect they're going to plant? Okay? What are they going to do? You know, I mean, it's like it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And what's really not logical is if they own the farm, then certainly that would be enough collateral for a bank. And if they're a leaser of the farm, obviously they'd look for some other capital. But if you're able to lease, you probably, you know, have some assets somewhere that you can use if you had to. But you can can't you pledge your crops like you used to? Okay, you know, it to me it's become a battle of the inept because the Dodd-Frank Act and all this banking regulation. You know, it doesn't have as much effect on the big guys because the big banks are trading. They're doing all kinds of things and bringing out all kinds of ways to scam the American people. Okay. But the little banks, you know, they're dependent on this. They need to get those loans out there. They need to do things. They need to have cash flow flowing through. And they're not getting it because they're under such scrutiny and such compliance that everybody's watching them. So they can't even dream of taking a shot to help somebody out. So the whole system of walking in and knowing your banker and knowing, you know, and having the whole relationship is changed. And this is, again, you know, small business in this country is becoming extinct because they're all getting swallowed up because the big business wants to take advantage of all the ridiculous breaks that they get versus the little guy. And that then becomes, you know, another issue. But if you look at it, think about it. Again, you don't have to take my word for it. Just think about it. Just look at it, at the picture and see what's going on and why all these things are happening. But you create tougher situations when it can be so easy and so smooth. But no, we can't do that. We have to make it challenging and hard. But, you know, watch our guys spend money, boy. Watch those congressmen. Watch the president. Whatever, you sign it. Get those entitlements out. Another $1 trillion down the drain. I mean, so if you think that that's the way to be, then okay, I can't argue with you. I just don't agree. I don't understand how any company can operate like that. Now, anytime you have employees and you have money, then you have to consider yourself a company. Okay? Yes, they are the government. Yes, they are running the country. But the country should be run like a company, because the people that work for it need to be answered, and we have to run a fluid business. You know, no other business in the world gets to make up for its mistakes by either relieving the debt or printing more money or going to the taxpayers and getting more. Okay? You know, businesses, when they go out of business, they say, it's too bad. Sayonara. You're out. Now, to me, that's a problem. Again, I don't like that type of stuff. I find it extremely frustrating because at the end of the day, everything is built, everything is made better by competition. And how does competition start? It starts out with the small guy. Okay? That's the key. You look at the oil business, the wildcatters, and they got the big guys good this time, because the wildcatters are the ones who did the fracking. Okay? Not the big guys. The big guys were out in the middle of the ocean screwing around. The frackers got them. But that's what makes things better. That's what brings price down. Okay? That's what makes price discovery better. When you can get competition and create it. Why do you think they don't allow monopolies? Okay? Why do you think all these things happen? Because competition breeds a better product. Competition breeds better pricing. And at the end, competition is better for you and me. So when they open up a gas station across the street from another one, they have to fight on price. So if one wants to go down, the other one has to go down if he wants to compete. That's what makes this country beautiful, okay? But they're taking that stuff away. And guys like Bernie Sanders want to destroy it altogether, okay? But there's nothing like competition. United States, built-in obsolescence. That's the best thing ever. You build products so they break down so they have to be replaced. You know, everybody wants to have something that lasts forever, but the truth is you don't, because the only way the economy grows is by continuing to replenish and rebuy, okay? And I don't mean it, I don't want it to break tomorrow, but certainly give it a lifespan so that everybody has to replace them. You know, look, they can make things last forever, but it's not fundamentally solid. It doesn't mean for making money. It means that you don't have to make money. You can't make them anymore. And that becomes a bigger problem, because the flow of money, the velocity of cash is more important than anything else, because that's what keeps everybody happy, is money passing from hand to hand to hand to hand to hand. Everybody takes it and spends it, creates better things for everybody instead of getting stuck up in some rich guy's pocket and then it never leaves. That's never a good solution. And someday I'll explain to you why that's not a good solution. But actually, having lived through something like that on the trading floor before they banned it, that was how you could see the end of the trading floor coming. But we'll get into it another day, because for today, I have bitched enough. I'm going to have to call it a day. But don't ever forget, you want to download the show, libertytalk.fm. Check it out. Check out the other shows. Great format. We do a lot of good stuff, and we want you to be part of our team. Also, go to BubbaTrading.com. Again, check it out. That's all. No obligation. All free. Check it out. Follow me at Twitter at Bubba Average Joe. Go like The Bubba Show on Facebook, and everybody have a great weekend. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being here. We will see you here on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.